am here to run a police department, not a frat house.
Unfortunately, she's been diagnosed with a brain tumor.
That's not a U.S. president. Okay. That's just the prime minister of Russia defending the president of Russia.
What do you want me to lock everybody up? What is that going to solve?
I am a very ethical person.
I have many Filipino friends. Our children grew up.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
No, you silly little flim, you got a problem.
Mr. Congressman, don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you. I wouldn't dignify you by peeing on your leg. I don't. It wouldn't be worth wasting the urine. But...
Broadcasting from the city of homes and beaches, Steve Tavares is angry.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Steve Tavares. Boy, what's going on over in the 16th Assembly District? Who saw a major upset occurring with Rebecca Bauer-Cahan and incumbent GOP Assembly member Catherine Baker? I just would start thinking about, wow, I can finally bring out my Al Michaels impression. Admittedly, it's young Al Michaels, but when it comes to this race, do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Do you believe in miracles? Yes!
Now, I was just so surprised what was going on in the AD-16. I was like, was I not doing my job? I really was. It was a crisis. I'm having a crisis of conscience. Like, I wasn't doing my job. Nobody, I didn't see this coming. Nobody told me. It was like, I'm then moved on to like blaming others. Oh, those sons of bitches. They never even told me that this could happen. They're like, I made a couple calls. And since, you know, Monday, when you start seeing over the last weekend, it was like, it started dwindling down, like from 1,000, now 700, you know, 500, 300, 200, 150. Like, this is amazing. A little bit into, I made some calls, like, what's going on there? And basically, that campaign and Democrats in Contra Costa County and Alameda County, they didn't see it coming either. Now, there was a poll done in October, in early to mid-October, and it showed a dead heat, 50-50. Democrats up in Contra Costa County, they think that Catherine Baker had the same polling, because what occurred next was a flood of mailers attacking Bauer-Cahan, and started hearing Catherine Baker use her opponent's name. And so this was a sign. Now they think that they had an inkling predicting, you know, record turnout. And that's what happened. So that's a big piece of this upset, monumental upset. There's going to be no longer a Republican in the East Bay Legislative Caucus. Be gone. And this has hurt the Alameda County Republican Party. They're just really open with their wounds on Twitter. Like, this hurts, right? And, you know, oh, the bleeding continues. The other thing, if not turnout, is people over there in the 16th district, which is, you know, kind of Contra Costa side of the Walnut Creek area, Concord area, and then it goes into like Dublin, Pleasanton, into Alameda County. So that's roughly that area we're talking about. And people over there just think that Trump and the Republican brand has become so toxic that the toxicity has gone way down, even to a race that nobody was really talking about Trump. And their belief is that people that were in this district there's a large population that have no party preference, which, you know, independents, mod, whatever you can call that, low Republican registration over there, but cobble them together is what Baker's been able to do with the independents and the Republicans, and she's been able to win elections easily. She won the June primary by 13 points, which leads, like, people were like, nah. So they think that people just said, nah, you know what, I like Baker, maybe I'm Democrat, maybe I'm independent, I see that R. Hell no, I am not. It's like in that movie Waterboy, when Henry Winkler was the coach and he looked across at Jerry Reed, who was the opposing coach. They saw Catherine Baker, and all of a sudden her face just morphed into Donald Trump, and they're like, hell no, that looks like what happened. It's an amazing story. And you think, so this looks like a comeback in 2 years, a rematch. I don't think so, because if this dynamic torpedoed Baker now, imagine we're going to do in 2020 when turnout's going to be like 3,000%. It's like amazing. People are coming out from the dead to vote willingly now. Like they're literally zombies. Anyway, we're going to have to start talking about who gets credit, right? That's what we do. Who gets credit? Who gets blamed? One thing I'm hearing is an unlikely person who may be one of the most helpful people in this campaign throughout the year is Assemblymember Bill Quirk in Hayward. That's 20th district. It's not even... Well, thank God for Quirk, because there's a hole over there. You have the state's Senator Steve Glazer, who doesn't pay attention to the Democrats over there. He just spends his money to the speaker. You know, his campaign sends it to the speaker, shovels in, here you go, sir, in a big bag with a dollar sign on it. And he doesn't pay attention to the Democratic establishment in his own district, in his own county. He hangs out at town halls, branded town halls with Catherine Baker. Same thing with Swalwell. Eric Swalwell, the representative from part of that district, too. They hang out. So no wonder independents are like, yeah, Catherine Baker was pretty cool until now. Glazer, he doesn't put any money into the campaigns, but Bill Quirk has. So if you're in that area, you're a Democrat, you should send a little letter to Bill Quirk. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for the help, the monetary help to the United Democratic campaign up in Contra Costa. There's the thanks part. The blame game, that's going to be on another episode when this actually goes down. But amazing, amazing upset in 80-16 in the East Bay. Next up, another upstart in the interview after this. Welcome back to the podcast. You know, the election last week, many winners and losers, as I spoke about in the last episode. And with me today is one of the big winners in Hayward. The Hayward council member elect Aisha Wahab is with us. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to see the results and obviously be back on your show.
Since the results came out on the night of November 6th, election night, you were firmly in second. You just needed one at large elections. You need one or first or second. And you were firmly there. But in the last couple of days, as updates in Alameda County have come through, you've pulled ahead. You're likely to be first place. So how does it feel to be a champ?
Genuinely, I'm very happy. You know, one of the interesting things was that, you know, going door to door, you know, you get a different vibe from the community. You understand it on the ground level a lot better. And I kept hearing from other people that were either, you know, within the Hayward Democratic establishment or within the larger community or running for other offices that told me that I would be struggling to come in second. And the first time I heard this, I was a little thrown off, just because I worked very hard in the sense that we went door to door to door to door. And that wasn't the vibe I was feeling. So I completely disagreed with the individuals that said this. And lo and behold, we are very much exactly how we felt. We are the top vote getter.
It does say something, because there's something that I have heard a lot when you were going around, and you were, one of your main points was Hayward is changing. And I would hear from the OG insiders, they would say, I don't think it's changing that much. I don't think this result and all your work, does this show that, yes, there is an appetite in Hayward for people who believe, like Aisha Wahab, that it's changing? And when we say change, not for the better, right?
You know, obviously, I'm very, very happy that myself and my team won, for sure, 100%. That no question about that. But at the same time, I also want to really explain that this was the very first election for the city of Hayward to have in November. Historically, it's always been in June.
Right.
So right then and there, the reason why it wasn't changing is because the voters that vote in June are, let's say, traditionalist, a little bit more conservative. They tend to be a lot older, and younger people, middle-aged people, don't tend to vote in June at the higher number as they do in November. So I think that's one of the big changes, you can say. But also just in regards to the makeup of the city, the average age of a Hayward resident is 34 years old. You know, people have not taken that into account.
Right, right.
So I'm underneath that age, and I think that majority of people wanted, as the word on the street was, new blood. They kept saying that, oh, you know, it's very good to have new blood on the council, new blood on the council. And I think that that says a lot in itself. I think people just wanted to definitely have a different vibe on the city council. The city council hasn't historically changed that much for years and years and years. So, you know, I think people wanted a different voice, a different perspective, and somebody that would bring up issues that nobody else would.
Right. One of the things I'm going to be looking at in the early years, earlier in the year, is if, you know, some of your future, soon to be future colleagues, whether they, you know, feel some pressure that they could be next. But I want to bring up some. I want to bring up something. I think you posted on Facebook and you brought up this, you know, basically this idea that, you know, you were people underestimated the campaign for a while. And I wouldn't say I underestimated it, but I was like, that resonated with my thinking, because I remember back earlier in the year, maybe mid-year, and I was kind of wondering what exactly you were doing. Were you out there walking? Were you out there? And then, boom, boom, you have $42,000 in the bank. And that was just like a bombshell. And so I started hearing that in, you know, I don't know, October, September-ish. I started hearing that and I said, yeah, I get what you're saying. I would tell some of these, you know, Hayward politicos, I get what you're saying. But you know what? I did the same thing before. And all of a sudden she was like, boom. Hello, how you like me now? I got $42,000. And so I wouldn't be surprised that that happens again. And you knew, look what happened. Was there any point, or can we go inside the campaign? Like, what was the point when you were starting to think like, yeah, something's going on here. This is feeling good. Was there any point, or was there any in the campaign, any story related to that?
You know, we announced on Valentine's Day that we are going to run. I personally was just a little bit fed up with what I was seeing and the lack of action, in my opinion, to what I felt needed to be done, and it wasn't being done. That is the primary reason why we decided to run. And, you know, we got criticized left and right, and this is from Hayward folks, as well as well-established Democratic folks, as well as just everyday people. And I think that people have not seen a young candidate, a millennial candidate.
Right,
they've
right.
also never seen an Afghan-American candidate. They've never seen a, you know, a Muslim candidate. They've never seen, you know, I can go on and on about like all the things that were stacked against me.
Yeah.
I was not very much seen as a Hayward resident. Granted, I've lived in Hayward for the better half of a decade. However, everyone traditionally knows me from the Fremont area, right?
Right.
So I think that a lot of people just said, you know, this is a pipe dream. I've had early on meetings where they said, well, you're not Latino. So how are you going to even garner, you know, different ethnic communities' votes? I was told that you're not seen as viable. You know, we've never seen a young person raise money, things like that. So
right.
we were told no left and right. I was told that my promotional material was not up to par. You know, that black and white photo that I have, a lot of people criticize the fact that half my head is chopped off. You know, I'm not the photographer.
Wow.
You know, you'd be surprised how many things we were told. Early on, all the criticism, the colors, the story, the platform, things like that. And you know, that does get in your head. It really makes you second guess yourself. And for a long time, I was almost hesitant to even say I'm running for Hayward City Council. It was a little bit of fear because you're putting yourself out there so much, right?
Yeah.
And I'm kind of I'm not OCD, but I'm borderline OCD type A almost, right? So for me, being told all these no's, I eventually had to sit down with myself and say, okay, I really don't care. I've already put it out there. Now, for me, follow through is really important, right?
Right.
So we worked on, a lot of people said you need to get the endorsements. And to be honest with you, a lot of people didn't want to endorse me. They were like, we're not going to endorse you against two incumbents. I had a lot of conversations like that. And to be honest with you, I also didn't care for a lot of people's endorsement. I genuinely did not care for endorsements in that sense. A lot of people, they give you their 2 cents no matter what. But the endorsements I cared for, I got within the first day that anybody even heard that I was running. And I really credit those particular individuals, leaders that I really respect. So I really didn't care about everybody else's endorsement. But, you know, we worked hard. I asked every single person that I knew for some money. And, you know, when we didn't exactly know how much our opponents would raise. So, I could only guesstimate, if you will, as to how much they could potentially raise. And I always wanted to raise significantly more. And again, it's the viability question. So then we kept it close to the vest as to how much we've actually right. have in the bank, if you will. And, you know, if you talk to a lot of my friends, I'm super, super cheap when it came to what I was going to spend it on, right? I did not spend any money on a consultant except for the last part, and that was through a friend who worked on one piece of the campaign, and that's literally it. Everything else went to, other tasks towards the end of the campaign, right?
Right.
I did not go with the consultant that was telling me I need to give them $18,000. In my mind, I was like, why would I give you like more than half of my money at the time?
Because you heard that one podcast that said, don't waste your money on consultants, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, you've except always for Doug said Linney. You don't need
it. Except for Doug Linney. Sorry, Doug.
Yeah, and a lot of consultants, to be quite frank, they were already taken up. So, I came late into the game, to be honest. But eventually, you know, we felt good when we had, I'll be honest with you, when you published that article that I was the top fundraising candidate, that actually hurt us significantly.
Interesting. That was going to be my question. Nobody
wanted to donate to me after that happened. Like literally nobody wanted to donate because they're like, well, you already have more money than a lot of other candidates have historically had in this race.
But in terms of viability, though, did that help you? So if not bringing the money in, but did that signal to people like whether before they'd be like, I don't know, she's young, like everything you're saying. But when that she's for real. This is a real candidate.
You know what's interesting is that within the first month or so, I raised a significant chunk of money within the first two months easily, right? And when I was going into these endorsement meetings and, you know, they always ask, how much money have you raised? And I would tell them, I almost feel like people didn't believe me, which I was like, okay, whatever, I could care less. And they didn't endorse me. A lot of, you know, I didn't have the support of the Chamber of Commerce. I didn't have the support of fire, police, you know, you name it. I didn't have local Hayward establishment support, right? And I was like, okay, whatever, we're still doing this. And then what ends up happening is that it does help with the viability, and that's the sad, disgusting truth about money in politics, is that that's what they deem a winner or not. And, you know, they don't care about your platform. Not a single time did somebody really ask, you know, why do you believe in this platform and what do you want to push? The only time I had pushback on my platform was when people 100% don't agree with my affordable housing at all income levels, right? But when the article came out and the finances were announced, immediately, within the 24 hours after, I got endorsement call after endorsement call after endorsement call or email.
Right.
Which, you know, in my mind, I was thinking, okay, thank you. That's nice, right? But you really definitely do take a look at, you know, who is very genuinely supportive of you, who says give it a shot, you know, who tries to mentor you, who, you know, a lot of different things. And then, you know, I eventually, after the money came out, I probably spent half of August raising a little bit more money. And then and we had some setbacks. So that really hurt us. The setbacks, I think, hurt us even more so than many people understand, because everything got delayed. So I didn't actually start walking until mid-September, roughly early to mid-September, and my opponents were walking since June, you know. But when we walked, I literally walked all day as much as possible. You know, I would take breaks at Starbucks, you know, refuel with, you know, a lemonade and hit the streets again,
right?
And I was very low-key the first 6 months of the campaign. Everyone, you know, was like, what are you doing? And I said, I don't need to, like, promote. I could easily promote, but that wasn't my goal, right? My goal was to get people to donate, talk to people, have these meetings, so forth. And then towards the end, you know, I wanted people to kind of walk with me on the journey of going door to door and what's important, what are some of the things I'm hearing. And, you know, for the first 3 months, I'll be honest with you, February, March, April, I'll even say May and June, I was almost hesitant to say, hi, my name's Aisha Wahab, I'm running for Hayward City Council. And then in my videos, that was the first thing I said in every video, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And the funny thing about that is that I, towards the end of the campaign, I went to Pete's Coffee in Hayward and I ordered like a caramel macchiato, and they announced it, you know, when they finished making it, saying caramel macchiato for Aisha. And a couple of the people that were in Pete's said, last on the ballot, vote Aisha Wahab, right? And so I was like, I'm doing my job at least.
That
right?
was the you moment know,
I
then, right?
Got that out, right?
You
right?
got it through. That's and, right. You were going to win.
And
right?
I needed that. 100%. Right, I needed that because I had no name recognition, right? Yeah. At least within the city establishment, right? It's a very large city. I had to unseat an incumbent. You know, you name it, I had the cards stacked against me. And you know, I read one of your articles where you said that right before the end, where you said that, is it wise for Aisha to spend her money the way she has? And
right.
in my
That's
mind,
what I was
yes,
hearing,
because
yeah.
we had, we, and I honestly didn't even care what politicos were telling me, right? Because I said, you know, we've come this far. I'm an average person. My family is an average family. And I'd ask them, what do you guys think? And they don't necessarily care too much about politics, especially, you know, at a local level. So if they gave me some feedback that they thought, I took that more into consideration than somebody that's really on the, you know, establishment level that doesn't see it in a basic way. Right.
Right. Well, I wasn't agreeing with that, but I heard from a couple of people, and then I told them this story. So in reference to you were spending a lot to put your 30-second, you know, kind of biographical commercial on cable TV. And I told them, like, in 2012, I remember doing a story where I walked, canvassed with Rob Bonta when he was first running for assembly. And we were going around Oakland, and he knocked on the door, and these, they were probably like early 20s. They answered the door, and they immediately saw him, knew him from this commercial on cable TV. And she literally calls in, like, I don't know, it was her brother or son or maybe boyfriend. And they come in. So it was like they equated, like they saw somebody famous because they would see that commercial on TV often. And all of a sudden, that person is at my door. Like, Oprah's at my door. Oh, my God. And so I was like, I was not totally with this idea that you're wasting money. Because there's that factor. If you can resonate and they start seeing you, when they see you, you got them. They're locked in.
Yeah,
they're
no, but in. Stephen, like I remember having this conversation with you, and you were telling me that you really liked the commercial.
Yeah, it was very good.
And then I read what you wrote, and you said something about like, oh, it being melancholy, right?
Well, it was. Well, Hayward is very melancholic, right? Often.
Yeah. No.
I wish it wasn't.
The situation was this. that commercial aired during the hearing for the Supreme Court. And as much as everyone was glued to their TV because of, you know, what was being said and what was being discussed as to who's going to be our new part of our the Supreme Court, everyone watched that commercial during those times, right?
So on MSNBC, right?
Yeah. And here's the funny part is that, you know, there's a certain precinct in Hayward that completely does not belong to me by any means, in the sense that it's where one of the opponents lived. And it was very hard to walk just because it's up in the hills. So it's literally brutal to walk. And when we walked there, people said, I know you from your commercial and you have at least one of our votes. Right. So we know that it hit more than what we could have done walking, in that sense, right? Because Hayward is not an easy place to walk. That's right, not the truth of it, right?
Either up the hills or super flat forever, right?
Yeah. So you know, we had to just overall just look at, you know, what we could do. And it was a good chunk of money. I'm not going to lie. I was, you know, very hesitant to even write the check, but I had to. Yeah. Right?
It worked. It worked. The day of the election, see, people think that, like, that's the busy day. That's actually the day you're doing all this stuff, and then you do nothing, and you just wait. And they tell me that it's the worst, like, afternoon, morning of their life. That's true?
Yeah.
It's the waiting. It kills you.
That day was incredibly hard for me. And like I've always said, I feel that I'm pretty emotionally balanced, and you know, I don't get too wrapped up into my own feelings, but I genuinely did not want to interact with anybody. I did not know how it was going to turn out. And it was just incredible anxiety to a level that I've never felt before.
I can only imagine.
And you put everything, your blood, sweat, and your tears into this campaign, and everything that we've overcome and walked through. You know, it's up to the voters that final night, and you really don't know what's being said about you behind your back. You don't know how much effort, especially that injection of money one of my opponents put in his campaign, right?
Right.
That disturbed me significantly. I was like, oh my God. Okay. You know, like I at that point I had, like, right now I'm a little, sadly, I'm in a little campaign debt, and I genuinely was concerned, like, should I do another mailer? Should I do this? Should I do that? And I ended up not doing anything because I was like, I don't want to be in debt any further, regardless of the outcome, you know?
So on December 4th, Hayward Councilmember-elect Aisha Wahab will just cut off the elect part, will become council member, should be sworn in that day. So congratulations.
No, I appreciate it. I'm excited, but at the same time, Stephen, I just want to make it clear. You know, officially, I am the first Afghan American ever elected to United States public office.
Bay Area.
Yeah,
California.
You keep writing the Bay Area. It's literally the United
States.
It's
America.
There. All right. Yeah, and there is another Afghan American who got elected just this cycle too. So we share the title similar to Deb Haaland and Sharice Davis, right? As you know, they are the first Native American.
What kind of level of pride does that bring up? Because that's quite significant. That's history book stuff.
You know, being the first Afghan American elected official in the United States does carry a lot of weight, specifically for, you know, a community that has historically been disenfranchised and seen as less than. I've walked around in my own community and they've celebrated more across the world. I've actually seen and received messages where people are having my profile picture as their profile picture.
Really?
And significant pride in the community. And I've had elders tell me that we are very proud of you and you have allowed us to walk with our heads lifted up. And, you know, when I heard this from a couple of different people, I was genuinely moved at how moved and how much of an impact it made in their life and in their future. So As I've said many, many times, for African Americans, we are in our chapter two phase of American history, and I'm very excited to see what others will do.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in action, and Hayward residents and people in the East Bay in the next couple years and months. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.